If you have a Bible or a way to access your Bible, we're starting a new series today in the 11th chapter of John called Unwrapped. And so that's kind of one of those double words, sometimes called double entendres, to unwrap something. Christmas, that's one picture of that, unwrapping all the Christmas presents. But it's the story that we're gonna tell today from John 11. Now, I'm not going to get through this whole story. In fact, we're going to do this as a whole series in John 11. But I want to go ahead and tell you about the scene where the unwrapping takes place. It is actually at a funeral. Jesus' friends, Mary and Martha, have a brother named Eleazar, what the Bible calls Lazarus, but the word is really Eleazar is what they would have called him in Hebrew. And he's sick, and then he dies, and they bury him in a cave tomb. You can go to Bethany on the other side of the Mount of Olives. It's 2 miles from Jerusalem today, and they'll show you a cave where Jesus's friend Lazarus was buried. And the stone was put in its place, and it was 4 days Lazarus was in there. When Jesus got there, he said, open up the tomb, open up the grave. And the immediate response was, no, Jesus, we shouldn't do that. There are obvious reasons. One of them is the odor, they say. But they open up the tomb anyway, and Jesus speaks to the tomb. It's really one of the most unbelievable moments in the whole Bible. He speaks into this tomb, and he says those very famous words. He just says, Lazarus, come out. And the next thing you see is Lazarus coming out of the tomb. The Bible says it like this. It says, the dead man came out. And then Jesus said this to him. He said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. In this culture, when you died, they would bury you in what was basically the equivalent of like a bed sheet. They would wrap it completely around your body. They would put a handkerchief over your face, but it was a big handkerchief, about a yard of fabric that they would wear around their neck as like a sweat cloth. And they'd wrap that over your face. So they bind the hands, they bind the feet. So he looked like a mummy walking out of there. But he was alive. And I was reading that this week, and I was just keep thinking to myself over and over and over again that is a picture of many of our lives today. That a lot of us, Jesus has already said to you, like, you're alive because you put your faith in Jesus and you have eternal life. And as you start 2018, the Bible says anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. You're alive. But honestly, probably a lot of us would say that we're a little bit like Lazarus. We're wrapped up. And there's some things that happened in 2017, and there's a little wrapping from that, some stress and some frustrations and some uncertainties and some things. It's just kind of wrapping us up. Some pain, some scars, some things, and we're just sort of wrapped up. And so this whole month, I just want to just challenge us. Like, what if we started this new year letting God unwrap our lives? Like, what if we were to begin to live unwrapped? And that's the title of our message today, Unwrap Your Life. Before we get to that scene in the gospel, though, we have all that leads up to it. And this morning I want to start way back at the beginning of John 11 and read the scene in which Jesus and his disciples start to hear the news about what's happening. It says this, now a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Remember that story? So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. I mean, what do they want? They want Jesus to come do a miracle, right? But when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Like, those verses don't go together, do they? I mean, in our minds, those two things don't go together. One is Jesus loves them, and then he doesn't show up, right? But there's a reason, because God's got a bigger purpose in all of this. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, and he stayed there where he was 2 more days, then he said to his disciples, after 2 days, let's go back to Judea. That area around Jerusalem is called Judea. But Rabbi, they said, A short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, yet you're going back? Notice the you there. They didn't say, we are going back. Did you catch that? They're saying, you're going back? Like, you're on your own. Like, but it's an incredible moment in the text because it's like, why would you go back? Like, why would you go back to Judea? Don't you remember what they were trying to do to you in Judea? Don't you remember how they treated you, how they insulted you? Do you remember all the people in Jerusalem? You remember the crowds with their stones? Don't you remember the Pharisees? Let's go back to Judea. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they will see this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. And after he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. I love that. I'm just going to wake him up. But his disciples replied, Lord, if he's sleeping, if he sleeps, he'll get better. So that's the kind of thing my kids would say, you know. He's sleeping, just let him sleep, he'll get better. But Jesus had been speaking of his death. But his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he just told them plainly. He said, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. And then there's just like this moment of finality. It says, then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. It's like, well, we're going to... Here we go again with Jesus. We're going to some place, and who knows what's going to happen to us. This story has in it some of the things that we need to do in our life today to unwrap our life. And I just wanted to share a few of them with you, and over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at more. But first of all, I want you to notice this. Life is full of surprises. Some of the things that wrap us up in life are the surprises of life. And I'll give you a few of them. One is, you might call it the unexpected. In verse 1, we're told that, you know, Jesus was doing what he was doing. His disciples were with him. Everything was fine. And then they get news, unexpected news. Lazarus is sick. You know, anytime somebody you know gets sick, it's a little unexpected. It's a surprise. It brings with it all kinds of challenges. You know, this last year we've had some of those. My wife broke her foot, and then she got mononucleosis. It's like, I'm glad she didn't have those at the same time, you know. And then the other night, she had some pain, and we had her in the emergency room. And so it's kind of like this whole year, she and I are just kind of looking at each other going, this has been a lot of unexpecteds in 2017. Well, here's a little news alert for all of us today. 2018 is going to bring some unexpected too, isn't it? I mean, there's going to be some surprises this year you're not necessarily ready for yet. But the truth is that the unexpected also makes life interesting. In fact, it's what makes a joke funny. I was talking to my friend in North Korea this week, and I asked him how things were going, and he says, well, I can't complain. Some of you get that in just a second. That was a lot funnier in my head. You know what I mean? It's like, I didn't go over that other service either. Good jokes, unlike that one, there's an unexpectedness to them. Well, there's an unexpectedness to life, and sometimes that's what makes life fun, it's what makes life challenging, but as Christians, you know, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be people who live with a sense of expectation, and even a preparedness. When Christians first heard about Jesus in the Greek city of Thessalonica, where Paul had been, some of them died, and they started worrying they're going to miss out on Jesus' return. And he wrote a letter, it's 1 Thessalonians. This is what he said in the letter, put it here on the outline, we can put it on the screen. He said, brothers and sisters, you brothers and sisters, you're not in the darkness. That's what Jesus is talking about here. You're not in the darkness. You're not in the dark. So that the day should surprise you like a thief. Like, there's going to be some surprises in life, but one surprise is not going to be death. Everybody knows that's coming. And so what we can do is be prepared for it. There's going to be the unexpected. But there's also going to be what I'd call the untimely. I feel like in life, I can always handle surprises as long as I know they're coming. But that never happens, does it? And that's the problem of surprises, is they are untimely. It's not like we can get ready for them and make all these preparations. Somebody once said that the tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. 2018 is starting. Don't wait too long to begin life. The Christians in the first century suffered so many things, and the early Christian letters are so much about encouraging them in all of the things that are wrapping them up. In 1 Peter, Peter writes to the Christians suffering, and he says, "Dear friends," 1 Peter 4:12, "do not be surprised," there's that word again, "at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Like, as if you didn't know that life was going to bring some untimely things. It's going to come. But then there's that last one. It's the unfortunate ones. It's the, you might even say, the inevitable ones. The ones where it's like, I don't want it to happen. And yet it's just unfortunately happening. John, who wrote this gospel, wrote a little letter to the church. And in the letter, he also uses this word surprise. This is what he says, 1 John 3:13. "Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you." Like, don't be surprised. I think that's one for today, don't you? Like, tomorrow, if you're going to live for Christ in 2018, that tomorrow you go out into the world and you discover, like, it doesn't agree with you. Like, don't be surprised if people are like, you know, "I don't believe in your Bible. I don't believe in your gospel. I don't believe in your Savior." Don't be surprised by that. There's some things we're going to be surprised by this year, but that's not one of them. Life is full of surprises. Here's the other thing. Life is a struggle. That could be the first sentence of any book about life. I know that we all learned in the movie that life is like a box of chocolates, but that doesn't necessarily mean that life is always sweet and smooth when it goes down, right? It means that life is full of unexpected things, and sometimes those are struggles. Flip Wilson said something kind of interesting like this. He said, "If I had my whole life to live over again, I don't think I'd have the strength." Think about that. Like, we always say, well, if I could just live my life all over again. But you know now in your life, as you look back, like, how did I even get through that week? Like, how did I even get through that night? Like, how did I even get through that moment? Because life is a struggle. It's a struggle. I was reading in the Psalms this week. I've probably read this verse 100 times, and I've never seen this. It's Psalm 73. And I have to show you guys this. It says in Psalm 73, verse 3, something we've all felt at some time in our life. Every one of us in this room has felt this. He says, "For I envied the arrogant." Like, I wanted to be them. "When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong." You ever turn on the television? You see some of those people on TV and you're like, I wish I could be them. Like, I know that they're not like living the Christian life or anything, but you kind of like secretly wish that you could be one of them. You envy them. You would like to have what they have. The psalmist says, me too. Like, I want that. And he goes on through this whole chapter, and then he gets to the 16th verse, and then he says something and it just blows me away. Verse 16, he says, "When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply until I entered the sanctuary of God." There's like this moment of transition. Until I was troubled by it. I didn't understand it. And then I entered the sanctuary of God. And then he says this, "Then I understood their final destiny." Wow. Like, I wanted to be them right now, but not forever, because their forever doesn't look like my forever. I want to be them when it looks good, but not for that, not forever, because I know their destiny. Psalmist is honest here. Life is a struggle, but you know, one of the biggest struggles of life is to make sense of it. This is one of the great truths of the whole Bible. There's a whole book in the Bible about this called Job. trying to understand, like, why is Monday so hard? Why is life so hard? Why is it such a struggle sometimes to make sense out of it? But it's not just a struggle to make sense. It's a struggle to overcome it. Look at verse 8 of this 11th chapter. The disciples said, "But Rabbi, a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, yet you're going back." Like, why are you going back? Like, if we go back, there's going to be some people there to, they're going to be in opposition to us. There's going to be some people there. They're not going to like us. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be friendly. Let's stay here where it's comfortable, where it's cozy, where it's safe. Why do you want to go there? It's an overcoming moment, isn't it? Several years ago in Fortune magazine, there was a little article where a man named William Batten said something different than we've all said all of our life. He said, you know, we all said the expression, I want to live my life in a way where my kids don't have to go through as many struggles as I do. He says, but when I hear my friends say they hope their children don't have to experience the hardships they went through, he said, I don't agree. Those hardships made us what we are. You can be disadvantaged in many ways. In one way, maybe not having had to struggle. That struggle may not be a bad thing, but struggle may be a good thing. A struggle may be the thing that you actually need to do what God wants to do in your life. Because if you don't ever struggle, you're never going to overcome. The Bible doesn't call Christians survivors. It calls Christians overcomers. In the book of Romans, the apostle said this, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good," because it's a struggle. Life is a struggle. But this whole chapter reminds us of the lesson we already knew before we came in here. Life is short. Lazarus is going to die. Lazarus dies. In a matter of days, Jesus will die. Life is unfortunately short. But that doesn't mean that there aren't moments that feel like they last a long time. You ever get trapped in a conversation with somebody and it doesn't seem like it's ever going to end? And they say, well, to make a long story short. Somebody said when they say that, when somebody says, well, to make a long story short, it's already too late. If you look at the average lifespan in America today, you live into your 70s. That's the average lifespan. Now, you may live to be 100, you may live less, but the typical lifespan is in the 70s. And so somebody looked at what we do as Americans in the course of our life. So let me just share it with you. You will spend 32.9% of your life, or 23 years, asleep. You're like, yeah, right now I feel like, you know, going to sleep in this sermon, you know, that'd be really nice. But that's crazy. We're going to spend a third of our life sleeping? I mean, that's crazy. We're going to spend 16 years of our life working, 23%. We're going to spend 8 years of our life watching television. There's some of those series that seem like they last 8 years. Friends. We're going to spend 6 years of our life eating. I don't know about you, but I want to increase my numbers on the eating side of it. We're going to spend 6 years of our life traveling, 4.5 years of our life doing leisure things. We're going to spend 4 years of our life sick. Like, just go ahead and plan for that. Like, that's going to happen. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be illness. You're going to spend 2 years of your life dressing. Now, on Sunday mornings, it feels like, you know, you spend half of it on just getting ready then. But 2 years of your life getting dressed. And then you're going to spend 0.5 years of your life doing something religious. That's interesting. It's not even a percent point. 0.7% of our life. Unwrap your life today. You got the life of God inside of you. You're a new creature in Christ in 2018. The living God has breathed into you. If you know Christ today, you have something that nothing can destroy, that nothing can take away, that nothing can remove. Unwrap. I mean, why live life all wrapped up when you've already got life inside of you? So what do I need to do? Well, here's a couple things we can take home with today. Number one, don't let fear foil your life. Don't let fear foil it. If you watch television, you watch anything nowadays, everything in our culture is driven by fear. Everything is. It's the headlines. It's just almost the underlining theme of our society. I don't know about you, but I just feel like sometimes I'm just walking around, I'm afraid of things I don't even know what I'm afraid of. And it just seems like that's just the whole new normal. But do you know that that's really not what the Bible says we're supposed to live like? The Bible says over and over and over and over again, do not be afraid. And the only time the Bible ever says be afraid of anything, it says be afraid of God. In fact, there's a proverb that says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But there's another proverb. I wonder if you've ever seen this before. It says this, Proverbs 19:23, that the fear of the Lord leads to life. So like the fear of everything else leads to death, but the fear of the Lord will lead to life. Like the news tells us, be afraid ISIS is coming. Be afraid the North Koreans are going to shoot a missile at us. Be afraid. I mean, there's a new disease out. I mean, be afraid of everything. Driverless cars are going to run you over on your way home today. I mean, be afraid of everything. But the Bible says don't be afraid of anything. Fear the Lord. When you start living your life with a healthy honor and respect for God, you're going to find life. You're going to live unwrapped. Number two, don't let doubt derail it. Jesus was in the boat and Peter was walking on the water. We forget that Peter walked on water. Remember, Jesus walked on water, but Peter was doing really good there for a moment, wasn't he? And then he sank. There's some of us like that. Like, I was doing good on Monday morning from about 7 to about 7:15. And then I sank. Jesus looked at Peter in that moment in Matthew 14:31, and he reached out his hand and he caught him and he says, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" That's a great question. Like, I mean, you're looking at Jesus in the flood, God in the flood. Like, really, like, why did you doubt? Don't let doubt derail it. And finally, don't let death destroy it. This is an incredible thing about this story is that Jesus knows that Lazarus is sick. Jesus knows that Lazarus is going to die. And Jesus knows that death is not going to kill him. I mean, that's incredibly insightful. He knows that the end of Lazarus' life will not be death, and he knows that the end of your life and my life, if we know Christ, also will not end in death. There's a saying that says, seize the day, carpe diem. I heard somebody say, remember all those folks on the Titanic who waved off the dessert cart? You know? It's like, oh, like a New Year's resolution, I can't eat any desserts. But you know what, truthfully, we're all on a Titanic, aren't we? The truth is we all have an inevitable result in life. We're all going to die. But death does not have to destroy us. Jesus was looking at Martha as he was on his way to the tomb, and she says, well, I know I'll see my brother again, you know. It's kind of like we say that at funerals. Well, I know I'll see him again one of these days. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, even if you die, you'll live. Like, death isn't going to destroy your life. You may die, but if you know Jesus, like, that's not the end of it. Paul said something like this. He was about to die. It was at the end of his life. He wrote his last letter, 2 Timothy. He said something. We often don't read this. We read another part of 2 Timothy. We don't often read this. He says that God saved us. Paul's about to die. He said, God saved us. He has saved us and he's called us to a holy life, but not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. In other words, God had a big old plan that you didn't know about, but now he's revealed it in Jesus. And then he says this, who has destroyed death? If you know anything about Paul's demise, you know that he didn't end with his head attached. I mean, he died in Rome under the emperor. He's about to die. And he says, Jesus Christ has destroyed death. And he's brought life. That's the theme of this whole chapter. It's the theme of this whole series. He's brought life, a life that even death can't destroy. So why bother living life all wrapped up if you've already got life inside of you that death can't destroy? Just go ahead and live unwrapped. Pull off the grave clothes of fear, of anxieties, of worries, of doubts, of uncertainties, of frustration. Let 2017 go, and already in 2018, pull off some of those grave clothes and live this year unwrapped.